What's the source of wisdom? How can you live a more conscious life? Sometimes it's the questions that bring you your own quantum leaps. Wisdom Talk Radio brings you conversations with visionary thinkers, business mentors, and provocative authors and teachers, along with resources that point the way for you to claim your potential in service to the world. Join Laurie Seymour at Wisdom Talk Radio for explorations in conscious living. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or find us at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.
Welcome to the Sensitivity Doctors Podcast. Here we explore everything from overcoming anxiety to living in a world not always designed for our sensitive wiring. Whether it's navigating business, parenthood, overcoming trauma, or getting what you want out of your relationships, we invite you to this empowering journey of self-compassion and growth. Sit back, relax, and here are your hosts.
Dave Tarnowski is the creator of Disappointing Affirmations, the popular Instagram account, and now a book, Disappointing Affirmations, Unfollow Your Dreams. He is also a staunch mental health advocate, having suffered from bipolar disorder and ADHD for many years. We are thrilled to have him with us here today on the Sensitivity Doctors Podcast.
So your book, Disappointing Affirmations, Unfollow Your Dreams, as I was just showing, it supports the idea that it's okay not to be okay, which I love that message. Can you share a little bit about what motivated this kind of little phenomenon you've created with your book and your memes?
Oh, man, it's there's so many different things that go into it. The first thing that comes to mind is... my ex loved positive affirmations, she probably still does. And I remember she would like read them as like a mantra to herself. And, you know, and I thought that was great. You know, it's like that whole manifesting thing. And so I have nothing against positive affirmations. I have a lot against toxic positivity, as they call it. I had gone on this retreat, which was in upstate New York. It's called Omega Institute. And I took a 5-day detox from my phone. I spent a lot of time in their bookstore, and their bookstore is filled with positive affirmations and love and light and all of that. And I really came away and I was just like, there's nothing for the other side. Mm. You know, it's like, and people, what I do is it's parody. And so when you have parody, you're going to have people who believe it at face value, right? And they're going to be like, oh my God, how could you say that? Panic attacks are nothing to laugh at. And it's like, I know. When I wrote Have a Panic Attack, You Earned It, which
I love that one. That's my favorite one.
Thank you. I'm glad. It's one of my favorites. And it's one of the first ones. Actually, it kind of launched the page. Like, that was basically the one that someone saw, shared, and boom, things started exploding.
I had a relapse 2 weeks ago, and one of the things about panic is you change your behaviors so that you don't have a panic attack again.
Yeah.
So now I'm really scared of traveling, and tomorrow I'm traveling. And then I read this quote last night. I'm like, you know what? You kind of have earned it. So it's weird how it makes you feel better, because it puts you into another kind of, it kind of takes you from the depths of that fear in that moment and just puts you outside of the picture for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can just have, even if it's just that one breath of, you know, I think it's going to be okay.
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, a lot of mine are about self-reliance and the fear of being self-reliant, because it's like, no, I want a bunch of extra layers of, you know, adult above me. But I can't do that because, you know, number one, I'm 46. You know, I can't really, although, I mean, people do still do that. Nothing against people who live with their parents, and, you know, but it's also good to let it out. And I think that's one of the things, especially for men, it's such a hard thing to cry. It's a hard thing. Like, I think I've seen my father cry once, you know? You know, I'm sure he's cried, but you know, he's like gone away and, you know, just done his thing. And that's sort of part of the conversation that I want to not start, because obviously, you know, there's been a conversation about mental health, all that, you know, I want to help, bring more into the mainstream, because therapy, number one, is amazing, you know, and I wouldn't have ever looked at vulnerability as a strength before therapy, you know, before I went in and, you know, started really digging through all the sedimentary rock of my past and just like, oh, look at this shit I found. Look at this, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And there's so much stigma around it, even to this day. And I think a lot of that still comes from, you know, the older generations, because I mean, there are a lot of people out there who, you know, are obviously unwell, but will never get diagnosed. And a lot of them are people like my parents, you know, because it's just like, what's therapy gonna do for me now, whatever. And it's just like, that's not the point. It's like, you're going somewhere near it and you're talking to somebody who is there for you specifically to help you deal with your trauma, your, you know, whatever is going on that led you to, you know, if you did decide to go to therapy, go to therapy. Yeah, it's one meme or affirmation that I wrote that I still haven't posted anywhere is therapy changed my life. I now know why I do all of the stupid shit I do, but I'm still going to keep doing it. Or something like that.
As a therapist, obviously I'm a strong proponent of therapy. And I find even with my friends and family, if I talk to them about a topic or an issue and I ask, you know, have you thought of therapy? Have you gone to therapy? It's almost like people have this perception that you have to be just bad off enough to deserve therapy. I try to remind people, you deserve a therapist. You deserve that space. And there are all different spectrums of issues that can fall into the doors of a therapy office. And I have strongly encouraged this mindset that, and if you think about it, why do we have family doctors? Why do we do physical checkups? But we don't have family therapists. We don't have a mental health provider on call in the case of a family crisis or dynamics that we're struggling with. What if it was just that normalized? What if it was something we began? I've even said, I'm going to go way out on a limb here. We do checkups of kiddos' physical health every year for school. What if we were checking their mental health with screeners every year? How many tragedies could we potentially catch and avoid early on if this was normalized and made as important as physical health?
So Dave, what I don't know if you're aware of is that you're actually doing a form of therapy with your affirmations.
Nice.
So it's called ACT therapy or acceptance
ACT therapy.
ACT. Yes. It's a form of mindful psychotherapy that encourages people to look at and then examine their thoughts and feelings, but without judging them. And it's kind of going with this idea that what resists persists. So if I tell you, don't think about an elephant, stop thinking about an elephant. There's not an elephant crashing through your wall. I mean, how are you not thinking about it?
Yeah.
Whereas ACT therapy takes this power of, okay, there's that elephant narrative. I see you. I see that narrative. So this can translate to things like, oh, there's that anxiety narrative, or oh, there's that self-esteem narrative. And it really encourages people to stop trying to stop doing something and to rather acknowledge and respect and see that something is happening. So that's really, in my opinion, that's what I loved so much about what you were doing, is you were taking this form of therapy and creating these beautiful images that pull you in and make you feel all comfy. And then you hit them back with, if anything, kind of this dry humor and this reality to the things that all of us think. And right. That's what I love so much about it.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. No, I'm definitely going to read up on ACT therapy now. I mean, that sounds, you know, why would I like that? sounds amazing. No, one of the things that I absolutely love the most about this is how many therapists follow my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. You know,
and I'm like, I want this in like the waiting room of every therapist's office, you know? I think the one, and it's the, you know, it's the main reason why I made it the first one in the book, but this one, no one is coming to save you. Yeah. You are the adult. I'm so sorry. that is sort of like, that encapsulates everything of what I am doing, you know, because it's like, yeah, oh shit, it's scary, but also I can do it. You know, it's, there's a little reverse psychology, I guess, with ACT therapy then. No, that's cool though.
One of the things that I really do appeal to though, is this idea of taking maybe people who might feel like an outsider sometimes, who might have certain thoughts and processes that they feel like is a little against the current.
Yeah.
And not just normalize it, but give it a space.
Right.
And I'm curious, when you think about people who feel other or people who feel outside of the fringe, and they also need community, they also need people, how would you suggest people in that case who might feel anxiety, whether it be socially, whether it be related to certain struggles and traumas, how would you encourage them to connect with others even when it's so difficult for them? And maybe how have you done that yourself?
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause I, you know, I automatically think about the, you know, the angsty, depressed teenage Dave, you know, I mean, cause I've always been more dark than light. And I don't find anything wrong with that. I used to, you know, because one of the things that made me laugh when my publicist mentioned your podcast was because the sensitivity doctors. And my entire childhood was, you're so sensitive. Like the word sensitive is almost, you know, a horrible, horrible.
Right. Like, rather than something actually powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and like I was saying earlier about, you know, vulnerability being a strength. It's like being sensitive, it's like that is not a fault. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I grew up in a house. I was one of four men and there was my mother. You know, I've got two older brothers. And so I always felt othered when I was a kid, because, you know, while they were out like playing sports, I was like, you know, collecting rocks and stuff, you know, and that's wrong. What they're doing is right. You know, you gotta be strong. You gotta go out, you do all that. And you know, it really took me over 40 years to kind of be there for that kid. And so it's a very hard question to answer. I think people have more at their disposal now than ever before, you know, and it's just a lot of people, they don't want to look, they just want it like handed to them, you know, and I just, you know, I would say try to find your tribe online if you're not, you know, if you don't go out, like I don't go out much. I've never gone out much. Like, you know, where I'm sitting
Oh,
right
you're
now.
speaking Jean's language here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am sitting, and it's actually it's in the book, my comfy chair. This is where I live, you know. And again, used to have a problem with it. I used to think that that was wrong, you know. And I'm like, fuck that, you know. I just want to go home. Anytime I'm anywhere else, I'm just like, I could be home right now. You know,
Yeah.
pretty much,
I
almost.
know that feeling. I have that feeling every time I leave
Like,
the
why did I leave?
house.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's that is one of the hardest things to do, especially if you have anxiety, social anxiety, anxiety disorder, you know, bipolar. I mean, it's like you can run the gamut of, you know, reasons why people, you know, isolate. You know, it's one. I'm gonna go on a tangent here.
Do
But
it.
so one of the things that I really want to talk about, but it's talk about like the worst word possible, and that's suicide. There are a lot of people out there who don't want to be here. And I know this because I've been doing this for long enough. And see this, the Instagram that the book is based off of is, it's not 2 years old yet. It's almost 2 years old. But I've been making memes for about 10 years. And I think around year five or six, I started making mental health memes or mental health related memes, but they were more like the typical style you see of like a photo, and then there's words on it, you know, like this represents this and this is this. But then I started to do on Instagram, there are these stories, right? And you know, I'm explaining it to you like, you know, you've never been on Instagram. So there are
If you
these
want to learn
stories,
about
and
how to do Instagram, listen
here we're going to show you how to
to But I have a Droid and you have an Apple, so we have two episodes.
now that's economizing. It's these Instagram stories that I would just ask the question, what's on your mind? Which it took me several years to realize that that's what Facebook used to ask in their status updates. Like, I haven't used Facebook in years. I think I aged out of that or whatever. I think Facebook is more for the older folks now. I said I think. I was I think.
I'm saying this even though I'm younger than you, so.
So I would do these Q&As, and I would ask everybody, you know, I would post just a question sticker and say, what's on your mind? And I cannot tell you how many people would say KMS, which is kill myself, and that's internet slang, or end it all. Just like, I mean, if I had gotten 100 responses at any given time, there was just certainly at least one to five in there. And the thing about like social media censoring language and all of that is there's no way that I can ever have the conversation I want to have about suicide and suicidal ideation, which I have dealt with for almost my entire life. You know, I as I said, you know, I was a depressed kid, and so, you know, I always felt othered. I never felt like I belonged to more than like a couple of people at any given time. Like, you know, there's people who like have 20 best friends, and I'm just like, I'm like, I've got one, and he's my default best friend because, you know, I don't have one friend, but you know, but there are people out there who have nobody. And
And it's so sad because I was just listening to this report where they did this whole deep dive story on this lady in the Netherlands where they allow assisted suicide. I don't know what the compassionate death or I don't think euthanizing is the right word. but they granted her.
You got a new meme coming after that comment.
They granted her this request because she has major depressive disorder. And mm-hmm. she doesn't want to live anymore. Mm. And they granted her the request to help her wow. end her own life. And I was just talking to my husband yesterday and I was saying like how incredibly isolated and alone and sad must you feel to be so committed to go that route, to do yeah. all of like the medical consultations and therapy and decide that this is what you are going to do. And she was talking about like the funeral arrangements she had made for herself and everything because she's now preparing for this. I think she's doing it next month or something like that. Just broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's terrible to see that, you know, it's on the one hand, you know, I've been told directly that I've saved people's lives, which that is a lovely thing and a humbling thing. But just the sheer amount out there. And it's just like, now I'm not here saying that, oh, I'm going to save everybody's life. Mm-hmm. Pull them all back from the brink. No, if I could help some, you know, that's like you were saying earlier, Amelia, that you're just one little stone. Like how much can you change? But if mm-hmm. we get a whole bunch of them together,
agreed.
That's the thing, you know?
Yes. You actually are bringing up such an important point. Suicide is not discussed enough. It is not normalized enough. And by normalizing, I mean, we as a society do not truly understand how common that yeah. thought is and how many people have experienced that thought and the complexities of how you can have thoughts, you can have passive thoughts, you can have active thoughts. There's all these different ways that people experience that.
Yeah.
And if we were having a more open dialogue and if it was something that, I mean, as a therapist, I'm trained to ask, are you experiencing suicidal thoughts? But even some therapists, in my opinion, feel uncomfortable
yeah.
asking because there's this notion that if I ask you, it's going to instill and plant the idea. That is not what happens. That is not what research says. That is not anecdotally what is seen. The more it's discussed, the less likely someone is going to follow through with it. So we need to obliterate this idea that when you bring up things like mental health or suicidality or even gender or sexuality, it doesn't plant ideas that instigates these things to happen. Mm. Instead, it opens conversations for people to find the support when they need it. And gosh, I love that you also said tribe. That is my favorite word. When I work with folks who feel like they're on the fringe or people who have experienced trauma and who don't feel comfortable in groups or with anyone in person, finding your tribe, I have seen that be more effective for people I work with than anything I can do.
Mm.
And sometimes I serve as a conduit to help them feel comfortable finding their tribe.
Right.
And then once they find their tribe, we focus on that. I love that you kind of can create this community for people that might feel that way. And you even said sometimes looking for someone online
yeah.
can be powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people that, you know, it's like the Instagram has a lot of followers, but there are so many people that are still, you know, just being introduced to it. And like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I could use this, you know, 10 years ago, I could use this yesterday, whatever. Mm. But one thing that I did want to mention also, and it's like, you know, it goes once again with language, you know, when dealing with suicide, there's this huge element of shame to it. And you've got that horrible coward's way out thing that to me, it's like, no, 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 let's just get rid of that shit right now because you do not know what's going on in somebody's head. You do not know.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, what I find really odd is that as we're advancing, quote unquote, as a civilization, but technologically, life is getting worse. It's getting harder. Now, worse is wrong. It's getting harder, and like nobody could buy a house anymore. That's out the window in the United States.
No, everywhere. Well, from my perspective, at least.
No, and it's there's so many struggles that people go through every single day, and so when I one of the disappointing affirmations that is also part of my whole I could sum up the whole thing is don't be sad, you're making everyone uncomfortable. And people, again, they see that and they're like, this is horrible. This is, and it's just like, yes, that's my point. That's what I'm trying to say. But there's a story that I weave through there of self-acceptance. It's like I had to make a collection, but the writer in me couldn't just be like, all right, here, let's just put the had to like have some kind of thing.
I
And
love that.
so that's why it starts with like a let's just call it a meme about fear, and then ends with of fear of being yourself, fear of owning yourself, stepping into yourself. And then it sort of ends with accept yourself for the hot mess that you are. Because it's like we're all just trying to get by. Some are doing it better than others, some are hiding it better than others. But I just think, how are you is one of the most flippant questions. Because we often it's just like, hey, how are you? I'm good. Oh, how are you doing? It's like, well, actually, I'm not really good. No, I don't want to hear about that. It's like we can't have and that's not to say that every time somebody asks, how are you, you should go into a 2-hour conversation about, there's a middle ground and it's pretty large. But yeah. It's
It's just
people
a
just think.
checking in a general sense of
Yeah.
compassion. So, Dave, can you tell us more about where our audience can find you or where you'd like to send them?
So I'm on Instagram. It's Disappointing Affirmations. They can also find my book on Amazon and bookstores all over the place. It's getting a Swedish translation, which is that's my first translation and Sweden. I was like, that is really random and cool. So you can find it in Sweden eventually too.
That's awesome. And we'll put the
Yeah.
links in the episode for our audience too.
Well,
Thank
thank
you.
you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. This was such a fun
This
conversation.
was
And
great.
everyone go out, get your book, find that moment of, oh, yes, collective experience, and you get to laugh. That's like my favorite part of it. So
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much, Dave. This was just wonderful
Thank
talking to
you.
you.
Oh, it's
Thank
been
you.
such a pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
You
You too.
too.